Good morning and welcome to WSAU Feedback. Why wait? It's a revival. We're just anticipating, as conservatives, as optimists that we are. Tom Tiffany is joining me this morning. This is by request. Thanks for coming in, Tom, in studio.
Yeah, great to be here. Revival's coming, folks.
Yes, it is. Indeed, it is. So we were talking during the break, Tom and I said, you know, how's your mom doing? I love that pickle ad. I love pickles. I think everybody that listens to me knows that. We were talking about the different types she has, and I thought, you know what? Hey, Mom Tiffany, let's play the pickle ad, shall we?
How's the pickle business, Mom?
Well, the pickle business is great, but the costs are through the roof.
Sounds familiar.
Well, that's because you're putting pressure on the big spenders that got us in this hot water.
Well, I learned a thing or two about pressure from you, Mom.
Oh, Tom, put a lid on it.
Happy to. Pass one over. I'm Tom Tiffany, and I...
We
approve this message.
Best commercial ever. I love it.
So, of course, it's on radio, and if people hear that clang, she's throwing lids at me. And I wish it was only lids she used to throw at me as a kid. She had to take a little sterner action sometimes with six boys and two girls on the farm.
I wish I would have thought to tell you when you were coming in this morning to bring in some of Mom's pickles. So what are some of the, you shared with me off air what her different, I said, are they all dill pickles? There's a variety, right?
Oh, yeah, she does garlic dills. She does bread and butter pickles, which are sweeter.
Yep.
She also does something called lazy wife dills. And that's how she uses up some of the bigger cucumbers. And, of course, she does beets and sauerkraut. I mean, she's probably in her kitchen down in the basement as we speak right now.
Oh, my
canning
gosh.
Some more stuff.
I want to go
visit
her.
She does thousands of jars every year.
Really? Well, she's got to have a pickle jar for me, I hope. I hope. We can only hope that I'll meet Mama Tiffany sometime soon. Well, that would be great.
We'll do it, and she does it all. She's 91 years old.
Oh, my gosh. God bless her.
Yep.
Well, speaking of lazy, let's talk about your opponent that I believe I saw his campaign sign pop up on Stewart Avenue, and frankly, I didn't even know that you had an opponent. I thought there was some kook that was running against you in the Republican primary that, of course, you annihilated. But to have a Democrat opponent, and you had a debate with him. Was it earlier this week, right?
Yeah, we did it Tuesday night up at Lakeland Union High School. First of all, it's good to have an opponent. We should all have opposition. It should be a contested race.
Puts us at the top of our game. Competition is good, right?
Yes, so people have a choice. And, you know, he's a decent enough guy, but, I mean, he's bought into all the progressive Democrat stuff. And it's kind of interesting because you hear him talking now kind of like Republicans. You know, you hear Tony Evers do that now, too.
Right.
He kind of talks like a Republican, and he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And the voters should know out there that this is just all an election year game. We got to sound a little bit conservative, though we're going to govern like Tony Evers as a socialist. And we did a debate up at Lakeland Union High School. And it's the primary reason that I did the debate was for the students up at Lakeland Union. They have some really good teachers in like kind of the social studies area in the high school. And they've put on these debates a few times, and the kids put them on, ask the questions, organize it, the whole thing. And it's really great that they do that. They get involved with the political process, have a debate amongst two congressional candidates. I mean, it's a great learning thing for them, right?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
And so, so it was great doing that. But it was interesting during the immigration debate, my opponent criticized Governor DeSantis for sending 50 migrants to Martha's Vineyard.
Well, does he have a place there or something? Is that why he's upset about it? Jeez.
So he's criticizing. And he said, it is not the proper place to send migrants to Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, I see. Not in our neighborhoods. Is that
exactly how
they roll?
Gosh. So it's the proper place with every state now being a border state.
Mm-hmm.
He said, let's send them everywhere else except Martha's Vineyard.
Right.
I mean, it is such a double standard.
Right. Gosh,
and I'm
how many times have you
so
said that?
Surprised
today?
That he was just you know, citing the talking points from MSNBC.
Right. Well, and that's all they've got because they don't have a popular platform. They don't, many of them, including Mandela Barnes and Tony Evers, they don't have a record to run on. So this is what they do. They create a talking point that they repeat over and over, hoping that some of the low information voters will catch on to it.
You know, and he went on to say that, I believe he said that they're interdicting 98% of the fentanyl that's coming across the southern border. I'd like him to meet Sheriff Mark Lamb from Arizona down in Pinal County, because Mark would set him straight. That is not the case at all. In fact, the Department of Health Services now has listed this as a public health emergency, what is going on with fentanyl. And by the way, as a public service announcement for those parents and grandparents out there, you caution young people that are in your lives about the rainbow fentanyl that's out there,
yes,
and the fentanyl that's going into drugs that'll be labeled Adderall or Percocet, things like that. And they'll be loaded up with fentanyl, or they're fentanyl and they're being marked as a different prescription drug. You have to watch out for this. I know my three daughters, who are all out of high school now, we have a group text in our family that we use frequently. And this is one of the things I sent to them. You girls, be careful. You watch for this stuff when you're out socializing and whatever, because it is now the number one killer of kids, young people, 18 to 45 years of age. And all you got to do is talk to your local sheriffs and police chiefs. They'll tell you how dangerous this is at this point. And it's no longer overdoses. This is poisonings. And it is amazing to me that we have a federal government that is basically working in league with the Mexican cartels who control the southern border at this point, who are pumping this fentanyl in, making billions of dollars, and our government doesn't do anything about it. I mean, it is the one thing our federal government should do, right?
Right. Step in, because it's a true public health emergency as opposed to the one that they created.
Yeah, well,
2 years ago.
To protect our borders is one of the basic functions of the federal government. There's so many other things that they shouldn't be doing. This is one they should. And this is going to be one of the first things that we're going to take up. If we get the majority back, we are going to take this up. And we will be ready to introduce legislation to get control of the border, to secure the border, to have a common sense immigration system here in America. We're going to have that ready day one if we get the majority back.
When you get the majority. Let's be optimistic. The revival is coming, Tom,
revival.
Right? Well, so you said that you're a dad of three daughters. I actually was just thinking you had two, so... Yeah, you have three, which is was just a dad or a daughter. Dad is a great guy. I had a wonderful, wonderful dad, and I know if he were alive today, he would be just. I think he'd be in shock by what now girls have to endure. And so let's talk about Title IX and how I don't know. I don't know if I how can we say that Biden is rewriting it or weaponizing it, or I mean, how can we characterize it? Because it's troubling.
Yeah, it's accurate. They're rewriting the Title IX law as we speak, and they're trying to do it via administrative rule. Of course, they've not submitted a bill or suggested to us in Congress, let's do a bill to change how we handle Title IX. And in part, for all you girl dads out there, but especially for you women out there, Title IX was one of the greatest success stories, allowing girls and women to have equal access to interscholastic sports and just basically participation in our society. And it is about to be undermined with the rewriting of Title IX that the Biden administration has proposed. They had the closing date for submitting comments was just a couple weeks ago. They had a record number of comments on this, which is a terrific thing, because I suspect most people were saying, don't do this. What they want to do is allow boys to be able to play girls' sports. Allow boys and men to be able to go into girls' locker rooms. We just had a presentation from an elite swimmer from down in the University of Kentucky. She dedicated her life, and some people have probably seen her story,
yes,
because she's going out there really talking about it. Well, she tied with Leah Thomas, the swimmer from the University of Pennsylvania.
The dude that wears a girl's swimsuit. Yep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They gave him the medal. Even though they tied in their race in the finals, they gave him the medal. And that kind of story just can't be told enough, because this is going to, it's basically going to end the Title IX protections of girls and women being able to participate on an equal basis in interscholastic competitions. This is going to take spots away from girls and women to be able to participate.
And again, another example of the double standard. And where are the feminists? Where are the Democrats that believe in women's rights? Where are they? They're quiet. It does bother me. I mean, I played competitive tennis and in high school and college, and then as an adult as well. And I mean, I think how difficult it would have been to compete against a biological male in those sports.
Yeah, I mean, think about the guy who was called Leah Thomas at the University of Pennsylvania. He was like the 260th ranked swimmer on the men's side in the NCAA, and then wins this when he gets to compete against women. It's not fair. It's wrong. And we have to stand up against this stuff and not allow it to happen.
So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to invite you to call in. Tom is willing to take your calls this morning. So 715-845-2155. I'll pick up your calls on the other end of this break on WSAU Feedback. Joining me on WSAU Feedback by request, The Beatles and Taxman. Tom, Tiffany, thanks for joining me this morning. I appreciate it so much.
It's great to be here. Hey, I just shot a text. It's this is comes from a person, I don't know who it is, but they say they're going to declare Zelensky, the president of the Ukraine, going to declare Zelensky as a dependent on my 2022 tax return.
Good idea. We might as well. So we have a caller that has called in this morning. Hopefully we'll get a I probably only have time for just this one this morning. Larry, good morning. You're on the program with Congressman Tiffany and Meg.
Thank you, Meg. I appreciate you taking my call. And Tom, old friend Larry Leckler here, fellow Elmwood alum. We go back quite a ways, the Tiffany family and myself. And I just wanted to put in a good word for Tom. Boy, all the people that support him, I see the Tom Tiffany signs all over central Wisconsin. And I point out to people that, yeah, he's a good guy. He comes from a hardworking family from back in Elmwood, Wisconsin, the western part of the state. Just saw his brother Charlie and other brother Dick a couple weeks ago at a high school football game. And I tell him how much I try to support him. And everybody's proud of him back home. And I'm just really impressed, Tom, more than anything else, by your hard work. I know you went there with the intent of not just doing like most politicians say, they want to make a difference, and then they kind of get swallowed up in the swamp or the status quo. But I really think Tom is really sincere about wanting to make that difference, and I really appreciate that. And he's carried that work ethic from the Tiffany family farm back in Elmwood over to his place in Congress there, and we really appreciate that. And the final thing I just want to say is there's three things that I tell any politician that gets my vote. You got to be conservative, you got to be constitutional, and you got to be Christ-centered. And I believe Tom fits all three of those, and I just wish him the best in the upcoming election. And next time we cross paths, it's not real often, but I always want to let you know that we appreciate your work again. So not to belabor the point, thank you for all the hard work. Keep up the good work, and the best to you in this upcoming election.
Hey, Larry, and this call was not staged, was it?
It was not staged, yep.
No, I had no idea what I was doing when I picked up the phones.
Yeah, everything's from the heart, and I know a lot of people feel the same way that I do about Tom. And so just keep up the good work, because, boy, we need you more than ever, a guy like yourself. And I'll tell you, you're right behind Ron Johnson, not too far behind as far as one of those people we truly need there in Washington. So again, the best to you, and we'll look forward to crossing paths again. We can talk face to face sometime too. Okay,
sounds real good. Thanks, Larry. Hey, I hope you made
very very welcome. How are you doing overall? You keeping up with things pretty good there? I know it's kind of a rugged road there, these political journeys, but are you doing well yourself, you and your family?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's terrific, and we're blessed in so many different ways. By the way, did you make the class reunion? I understand
that. I sure did. Yeah, I was kind of in charge of that myself and several others, and enjoyed that very much. Had a great time. Saw your sister, Luann, there, of course, and Dick were there, and yeah, a good group of people to hang out with. Well, anybody from Elmwood's a good person to hang around, so that's what I always say. So it was fun. It was a good time.
Great to hear from you, Larry.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. And again, keep up the good work, and the best to you, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Larry.
Yeah, and by the way, I believe Larry's retired now, but he's a teacher, and people don't realize how many conservative teachers there are in northern Wisconsin, and I think through a lot of Wisconsin, but there's a lot of conservative teachers. I think about my kids' school, and I just know that there's a lot of them lead their lives in a conservative fashion. There's more conservative teachers out there than you realize.
Well, that's good to know. Hey, thanks for your service, Larry. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're very welcome. I'm actually kind of semi-retired. I'm still teaching lower elementary art here in Abbotsford and enjoying it very much. But, yeah, down the road, hopefully I'll be able to do a little more of the retirement stuff. But life's good, and I'm very blessed by that. I thank the good Lord for that. And we all have to count our blessings every day, and I know you people do too, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that you give that testimony on the radio, that you have those strong values, and faith's important. That's important to hear that from people like myself out here in radio land.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you for that. And I guess the secret's out. That your fellow teachers are going to know you're a conservative now, Larry.
Well, I'll tell you what. We have good conversations, good, healthy conversations, let's just say.
Well, good. Well, and I mean, if you can keep it reasonable and gracious, I mean, I think it's tough to argue. Well, it's tough for them to argue with us when we have a smile on our face and when we're
so
polite and respectful to them. So,
yeah,
well, hey,
true.
Larry, be sure to call in again. It was great to meet you, and I'm so glad that you're a supporter of Congressman Tom Tiffany.
Well, thank you for taking my call again, and everybody have a good day.
Thanks. You too. Tom, we have just about a minute or so left. I want to give you the opportunity to tell our listeners, we have, 60 seconds or so to tell our listeners about when we win the majority. What are some of your plans for the majority?
Yeah, I think you're going to see two tracks that are going to happen. You're going to see, I expect, a balanced budget proposed to stop this deficit spending, secure the border, make sure that prosecutors prosecute. And then we're also going to have a dual track to do oversight on the FBI, big tech, and make sure people like Hunter Biden are being held accountable for their actions where they used their government position to achieve some of their goals. That is going to be a dual track, I believe, is both oversight and pass legislation that's going to be productive, because we can get control of inflation. We can get control of the high energy prices. We can secure the border. We're going to bring that message to the people in the final 30 days here. And then if we get the majority, we're going to be passing bills that do exactly those things. We understand the urgency that needs to be undertaken here with the dire straits that the United States of America is in at this point.
Your website, Tom?
TomTiffany.com.
All right. We'll get out there and help Tom Tiffany win this one. We got to go. Have a great day. God bless. Thank you, Congressman Tom Tiffany. You're the best. I'm so glad that you were able to join me. I will talk to our listeners tomorrow.